Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Righteous Talk on Love and Relationships with relationship coach Derek Q. Sanders. Here we address real issues with meaningful content and open, honest dialogue between men and women, speaking from a place of truth and wholeness, which often does not reflect the lies that many of our experiences have told us or shown us. Thank you, Derek Sanders. Love is more, and we have yet more to experience. Let's talk.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Righteous Talk on Love and Relationships with your host, me, Derek Q. Sanders. We do this every Tuesday from 7 o'clock to 8 or 8:30, because I actually got 90 minutes, but I usually just use an hour. Thanks again for tuning in. Let me tell you where you can find me. You can find me on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and somewhere else on my website. Each day I write an original quote on love and relationships. Every day I write something, and I post it on my social media sites. And you can find me, my main hub is usually Facebook. You can find me there at facebook.com/ Derek Q. Sanders. That's DereqQ Sanders. You can find me on Twitter, same thing, /. Derek Q. Sanders, DereqQ Sanders. Same thing on all of them except for my public figure page on Facebook. That is like this show, Righteous Men LLC. So that's facebook.com/ Righteous Men. That's WRITEOUS Men. And also you can find me on my website, www.DerekQSanders, you guessed it. And you can also find me on my blog. I write an article for Black and Married with Kids. So you can find me there as well. Black and Married with Kids, if you're not familiar, is the most popular website for African-American marriage. They do a great job of putting a positive images, positive look, outlook for Black married couples. And I write for the section for relationships. All right. So that's where you can find me. We'll talk more about other stuff that I have going on as the show progresses. Tonight, what we're talking about is knowing when it's time to say goodbye, when to end a relationship. And let me remind you, on my show, I have in mind single folks, people who are dating for marriage, not necessarily married. Well, I should say not married folks. This show was actually suggested by one of my followers on Facebook last week when I had posted the link to last week's show. And, you know, I got some responses and stuff. So I asked one of the persons that responded if she had some ideas for a future show. And she gave me this one and actually gave all of the points and things that I'll be talking about, the questions, things I'll be addressing, actually came from this one person. And I told her, I said, well, my angle would be toward people or two people who are dating or in relationships but are unmarried, because for married people, it's totally different dynamic, totally different. Bear that in mind when you're listening to some of this stuff. Will apply to both, but I don't typically address married people because I think married people, for the most part, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I think information is information, but I choose to deal with single people and let married people get their advice from other married people. For the most part. So, but tonight, again, it's knowing when it's time to say goodbye. And we got to set the tone for this show. And I picked out a couple of songs to set the tone for this particular show. And I only see one of them. I don't see the other one. I wasn't sure if I was going to play both of them or not. And I'm still not. But I'm going to play this first one. Those of you all who are a little older, older than 20, maybe older than 30, will remember this song. But yeah, it's a good song. The other one was actually a good one too. But play this song, and then we'll get into it. Neither one of us wants to be the first to say goodbye. Thought that was befitting for the show, kind of. Because actually, the angle I was coming from, I thought that was kind of befitting for the show, because it's talking about, obviously, we're talking about when to end a relationship. But so the points that we want to look at, I got some great questions, topics for the show from the person. And I'm going to send her name because actually I don't know if she wants to remain anonymous or not. But I'm definitely not taking credit for the idea for the show, because it was not my idea. It was someone else's idea. But she gave me some great points. And I don't really have them in any particular order. I'm trying to decide which ones. Well, I'm just going to go with the way she gave them to me. But one of the points was signs of emotional manipulators, which is a good one, because I see that often when I'm talking to people, mainly women, because that's mostly who I talk to. Guys do reach out to me from time to time, but it's mainly women. And an emotional manipulator, in this case, is a man who plays on your emotions to take advantage of you. Generally speaking, women tend to be more emotionally led than men. This is not to be misconstrued as saying women that are weak or anything like that. It's not that. It's just a difference between men and women. And ultimately, it's a compliment when we understand our differences are beneficial to our relationships and not detrimental. So men tend to be more logical. Women tend to be more in tune with their emotions, which may make them more susceptible to being manipulated emotionally by the wrong types of men. The emotional manipulator is the guy that makes you feel bad for the wrong he's doing to you, which is crazy, because I've seen the situations where you have the lady who's being cheated on. She's being mistreated by some guy who's taking advantage of her. He's doing her wrong, but she's actually given reasons why he's doing it. You know, in other words, it's like she's taking the blame for the wrong that's being done to her. And here's an example of what I mean. He cheats on you and tells you that you weren't giving him enough attention. This absolves him of his indiscretions because you caused him to stray by your lack of attention. So you weren't giving him enough attention, so he strays and cheats, and then he tells you basically it's your fault. It's your fault because you weren't giving me enough attention. You weren't keeping it tight, and he strayed. A similar excuse could be that, you know, like I said, you haven't been keeping it tight like you used to, so he strays. Another example from a totally different angle is the user that makes you feel sorry for him because life has dealt him a bad hand. And then you make every excuse for making yourself responsible for what you call supporting him or loving him. Or in some cases, you know, I'll have the ladies that'll tell me, well, you know, I'm a nurturer. Women are nurturers. And like I just told somebody recently, that's fine and dandy. There's a couple of issues I have with that. For one, you could choose to be nurturing to a decent man, to a good man, a guy who could actually appreciate that. So there's still no excuse or justification for that action, because if you choose to be supportive, nurturing, whatever words you want to use, you can still choose the man that you do that for. It doesn't have to be some, you know, some user or manipulator or anything like that. You can still choose, make a better choice. The other thing is nurture is actually, you nurture children. You nurture babies. You don't nurture men. And like I said, you know, you hear that often, but nurture is more suited for children, for babies, not for grown men. Men need to be supported. And then you have to be careful about what you consider to be support. You shouldn't be taking care of a man. You know, you should, you know, we help each other out, but you should not be taking care of a man. You got a man living off you, manipulating you to take care of him where he's not fulfilling his role as a man, especially in the relationships that we're talking about. Because, again, we're talking about dating relationships. We're not talking about people married. So you have limited, I mean, that's a totally different dynamic, because this is not your husband or somebody that you all are sharing in certain responsibilities. This is somebody that you're dating that you should be looking at to determine if he's somebody that's suitable for marriage. So the whole nurture thing, nurture is for kids, and support is limited. You know, it should be limited, because you should be, men and women, we should be looking at each other and determining who this person is, what their characteristics, looking at their character and all of these different things to determine who they are. But again, getting back to who this guy is, what he looks like, the emotional manipulator. This is the guy that guilt tripped you into paying his bills and supplying his other financial needs and other desires that you can meet. And as I was saying, let me be clear. It's not a woman's responsibility to support a man she is dating who is supposed to be pursuing her. Emotional manipulators play on the low self-esteem and or insecurity of the woman that they victimize. An insecure woman will work hard to prove to a man that she has value. Her way of showing her value is by providing his need or providing for his needs, financial, sexual, emotional, etc. She works to save him. Usually it's like the worst types of dudes. And a woman will work to, quote unquote, save this guy, or as my friends say, you know, rehab him. In saving him, she shows her value to him. So she shows this man what her value is by her showing him, you know, by her saving him. She shows her worth. The problem is that users usually don't want to be saved. These guys don't want to be saved. They want all of the stuff that you're doing to try to save them. You know, they want you to bend over backwards, spend money, take advantage of you sexting, and all these other things. They want those things, but they don't want what's behind your reason for doing it. They're not looking to be saved. They're looking to get what you're giving them. So your efforts won't even work, because you're doing them for a totally different reason than what he's actually out for. So you can't save him with those things. They will forfeit their benefits if they're truly, you know, if you actually could save the guy, he would be forfeiting his benefits, because any decent man wouldn't even allow a woman to do those types of things, because he's looking to say, you know what, I'm taking advantage of her. I'm not married to this woman. So he's not, any decent guy is not going to have a woman, allow a woman to be doing those types of things, because that's over, you know, he's overstepping his bounds. He's overstepping his bounds. And there should be limits. Relationships should progress. They should develop in progressive stages. And many of these relationships, they progress like way ridiculously. I mean, it's like you have relationships where people are acting like they're married before they're married. They're not even dating good, and they're having sex. They're sharing bills together and all these different things. A woman is cooking for a guy like this is her husband, washing his clothes and all these crazy things. It's like, no guy's entitled to that unless he's your husband. You're not entitled to that unless he's your husband. And that means you both are entitled to certain things. In a lot of cases, these relationships are one-sided. You know, the woman is doing all this kind of stuff to prove to the guy that she's actually worthy. And he's just taking advantage of it and making her feel like that's what she should be doing. All right. So that's where we're at for emotional manipulators. And the signs are, you know, the guy guilt trips you, you know, makes you feel like you're obligated to do these things. This is what you should be doing because, you know, you're his woman or that's a woman's responsibility. Anytime you're in a situation where a guy is doing that, he's, you know, he's asking you to do these things, cook, clean, and all that kind of stuff. And then if you're reluctant to do it and he guilt trips you, that's a sign that you're dealing with an emotional manipulator, a guy who's going to make you feel guilty about doing things for him that you're not obligated to do, that he shouldn't be asking you to do anyway. And even if you volunteered, he should say no. You know, he should kindly decline because he's not your husband. And then he doesn't, a decent guy doesn't want to take advantage of a woman. He doesn't want to take advantage of things that he's not entitled to. Right. So that's emotional manipulators. The next one is, this is a good one too. Arguing versus fighting. That's what she said. Big difference. Are we able to listen to our partner to gain understanding, or are we listening to respond, defend? Most of the time, we're listening long enough to wait, or we're listening to wait for a break or a pause, and we're waiting for them to pause long enough so we can say what we're thinking to say. And it requires skill. I mean, listening is a learned behavior, because most of us, you know, we're ready to defend our position. And I'm guilty of that. My girlfriend will tell you that too. She probably over there, she listening, she probably saying it to herself now. But I think most of us, we're guilty of that, where we're ready to defend our position. And it shouldn't be about defending a position. It should be an exchange. I'm guilty of that too, because I do want to know, you know, what she thinks. But it should be an exchange. All right. But knowing the difference between an argument and a fight is a very necessary distinction. Remember back in English class, when you had to choose a topic and take a position either for or against. After choosing a topic, you then had to write 3 or 4 arguments to support your position. And remember, those are arguments. We had to take a position. I believe that we should have a right to bear arms, or I don't believe. I believe that we should have gun control. I mean, one or the other. And then you have to come up with 3 supporting arguments. And an argument is just a statement that supports a position. That's all it is. It's a statement or a line of statements that support a position. In relationships, an argument is a difference in thoughts, beliefs, and or ideas. That's all it is. If dealt with sensitively, it's an opportunity for a couple to have deep and meaningful dialogue where they can learn from one another. Because you think about it, we get passionate about certain things, which is when it turns into not an argument, it really turns into a fight. Because we get passionate about, well, I shouldn't say it doesn't necessarily turn into a fight, but it comes an argument because, and I'm saying argument in a sense of something that it's just where we disagree or we see things differently. But it's, we're passionate about something, and it's an opportunity really for us to learn, because we're both passionate about a particular belief, a thought, an idea. And it's an opportunity for us to learn, because it's usually something that's deep seated. You know, we don't usually get up in arms about something that really don't matter to us. So this is an opportunity, if we're at odds, to find out something about this person that is something that really matters to that person, right? A fight, on the other hand, is when ad hominem attacks enter in and good communication breaks down. What ad hominem means is it's actually a logical fallacy. So you get a chance to learn something about logic. An ad hominem just means against a man or argument to the man. Essentially what that is, it's where you begin to attack the person's character or some other personal manner to discredit that person. So rather than us talking about whatever it is that our issue is and addressing the issue, then we start to attack one another. That's what an ad hominem is, an ad hominem attack. And that's when we're actually into a fight. It's no longer an argument, because the argument is just where we disagree, and that's healthy. The fight is not healthy. That's when we start attacking one another. How it looks in a relationship, again, is, you know, name calling begins, demeaning comments are made. Nothing good comes from this interaction. A major problem also is how we interpret what one another says, which is usually filtered through past experiences. So I say something, or let's say you say something, and your partner hears what you say, but they interpret what you said in a way that you didn't mean it. And rather than saying, here's an exercise, they say something to you and you're not clear about what their intended meaning was. The exercise is to say, well, I heard you say this. Is this what you meant? What usually happens is when we end up in a fight is it's not that the person says, what did you mean? They automatically assume that you meant something. And usually that comes from, well, the only place that can come from is how that a frame of reference, what that has meant before, when that or something similar has been said to them before. And if it was something that caused pain before, 9 chances out of 10, they're going to think that you meant the same thing, that your intentions were the same, when it may have not even been that. For example, it's like if you're joking with your mate and you call him big head. When your mate or the person you're dating has no idea that as a child, that's a name that was used people use to tease you by. They have no idea of that. So when they say that, they don't mean anything by it, but you hear it and your frame of reference is that pain from childhood, when you were teased and called big head, because maybe you did have a big head. And rather than hearing and saying, okay, this person has nothing to do with that prior experience, they're just, you know what I'm saying? They're just joking. So it's a situation like that. Or it may not even be that. It's just that you hear them say something else and it strikes you the wrong way because of how you're interpreting what they're saying. And this happens far too many times. Rather than just saying, the example again, or the exercise is to make a habit of saying, okay, I heard you say such and such. Did you mean this by that? Or to even say this, I heard you say such and such, and this is what it sounded like to me, or this is how I took it. Is that how you intended that? And that can alleviate a lot of our issues, because now we're not speaking for the other person, because this will happen too. Well, you said such and such, and the person did say that, but what they said and what they meant was entirely different, or what they said and how you took it are two entirely different things. And we can't hold another person accountable for how we take or how we interpret what they said when that was not their intention. Right? That's how fights break out, not arguments, fights. So we have to know the difference. And we tend to view arguments and fights as interchangeable words. We have to make clear distinctions between the two. Arguments can be healthy when we learn to be respectful when we find ourselves in an argument. Often, we're tied to certain beliefs because they are family traditions or tied to our upbringing or something else that was a part of our foundation. It's not always easy to embrace the thought of doing some of these things differently. So, you know, we've come to a place where you see it one way, I see it another. And it could be a family issue. You know, it could be you know, like I said, family tradition or any of those types of things that we may hold dear because this is something that our family did, you know, something that you know, we've always done. And this other person does it differently. And then, you know, we're at odds because, as I said earlier, it becomes something that's kind of like deep seated. That's attached to something else. That's attached to memories, childhood memories, family and things like that. And both persons want to, you know, want it their way because of their investment in that. So those can be sensitive, touchy issues. But if we deal with them in a sensitive manner, respectful manner, we can work through that stuff. Because, I mean, most of this stuff is not major stuff. It's not. It's just, you know, we get our emotions involved and we get caught up in the moment. I know I do. I'm guilty. Get caught up in the moment. Then you think about it later and say, you know, I could have handled that differently. Because once you're apart from the person and you no longer are, you know, caught up in, you know, your emotions and you can just think about it and think about how you could have handled it. You know, so we get in the habit of making that clear distinction between an argument and stop saying argument when we mean fight because they're two different things. We just, you know, it's a disagreement. It's like all these things are bad words. They don't have to be. The only one that should be a bad word is fight. Because we shouldn't be fighting. There's nothing wrong with having a disagreement. And it's nothing wrong with an argument. They just have to be seen differently and addressed differently. The fight, we should try to avoid those, have as little as possible. And then understand how to engage when we have arguments. And we shouldn't be having those all the time. And if we are having them, we should learn how to work through them. And we should be able to see some progress in our relationship. We should see our relationships developing. All right, it's 7:30. I am going to play my commercial. And then we'll get back to the second half of the show. Call-in number is, for anyone who might be watching or not watching, listening on line, it's 929-477-3659. Anyone that has a question or comment, press the 1 and I will see that your hand is raised and you can come on live and we could talk and hear your input. But here's my commercial.
If you're totally frustrated with the world of dating and want to finally have the relationship you know God wants you to have, then you should read a brand new book, Outdated, Rethinking How Men Date Women by famed relationship coach Derek Q. Sanders. Derek is well known as the pro-activist coach who doesn't pit men and women against each other, as is popular in network and broadcast media to ramp up ratings, but produces no solutions. Rather, he seeks to achieve harmony in what God ordained as the sacred institution of marriage for his children, the human family. In Derek's book, he shows you what to listen for and what the proper answers should be. Coming from a perspective of a God-fearing moral code, Derek speaks to women who don't want to be mistreated by men who are nowhere near being equally yoked. Therefore, Derek shows you how to have the courage and tenacity to stand up for what you value most highly so that you can avoid the suffering that you would otherwise get set up for. Derek believes, and you might too, that casual dating is an oxymoron. There is nothing casual about opening yourself up to being loved and potentially hurt by exposing your emotions to a man you're establishing trust in. It's a willful act of vulnerability for a greater purpose than what would or should ever be called casual, and therefore must be treated accordingly. Don't sell yourself short. Falling for a man who isn't worth falling for is really setting yourself up for a fall. Read Derek's book today. You'll be amazed at the strength, comfort, and peace of mind you get from it. Purchase your copy at www.derekqsanders.com on the products page.
All right, we're back. That was my commercial for my latest book, Outdated: Rethinking How Men Date Women. And that's stated in the commercial. You can find a link to purchase the book on my website, www.derekqsanders.com. And the book is less than $10 and is worth a lot more. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right, the next item is deal breakers. Told you she has some good ones. Deal breakers. In parentheses, she has, or in brackets, did you clearly articulate what these were at the conception of the relationship? These are just outright non-negotiables. What are some deal breakers? I wrote a bunch of them. Smoking, drinking, kids, bad credit, criminal records, no college education, money, height, weight, religion, occupation, etc. And I talk about deal breakers and or non-negotiables in my book, Outdated: Rethinking How Men Date Women. I talk about those. It's important to, and it's funny, but most people don't even think about those things going into relationships. That these things, you should already have your deal breakers up front. You shouldn't be dating somebody a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, and then find out that things that would have been a deal breaker had you known up front, now you're finding out and they're not deal breakers. Why? Because you're emotionally engaged. You like them because you've been dating them a month, you've been dating them 2 months, 3 months, and it's not easy to walk away or sever ties like it would have been had you found these things out early on, which is what you should do. That's one of the main reasons you don't want to rush into a relationship with your emotions fully engaged. There's groundwork that needs to take place beforehand. You both should have non-negotiables that are clear before you move forward, that are cleared before you move forward. So you should know. I mean, those are stages. You should find out certain things. That's the whole point in dating somebody, so that you can find out certain. I mean, it's almost like a video game. You have levels, and once you clear one level, you go to the next. You can't go to level 10 until you've gotten through level 1 through 9 first. And what happened? Folks jump in relationships, and you're at level 10 and start working your way back to level 1, which is retarded, and how people end up in relationships and they're trying to figure out, how did I get here and how do I get out? And I don't want to get out because I love them now, because you jumped in and went bass backwards. And it's not that's not healthy. It's dangerous. Far too many people rush right past this vital step, opting only to focus on fun and avoid anything that may disrupt the fun times. This is a huge mistake. It's better to make sure there are no deal breakers before you're emotionally engaged. At that point, it's very difficult to part ways. Your vision becomes cloudy once your emotions are engaged. It's then that you make excuses and choose to ignore what would have been much easier for you to walk away from before your emotions were kindled. The sooner you address your non-negotiables, the better. It's better to rule them out early on than to let the relationship run its course after the fact, only to crash and burn. You never come out of this type of relationship the way you went into it. And you don't. It's like you go into that relationship, like that phrase, fools rush in where angels are afraid to tread. It's like you rush into the relationship excited because somebody giving you some attention. You haven't gotten attention in a while. We all like that. You know, this person is new. You're excited to hear their voice. You're excited to learn all these new things about them. All that, you know, it's almost like playing an instrument, or it's almost like any activity that you like that does require discipline, and you make a habit of doing the things that you already know how to do that you're comfortable with, rather than focusing on the things that you don't know. You know, practicing, you know, like for example, practicing those scales. Nobody wants to practice the scales. You want to sit down and play the popular tunes that you know, that you hear on the radio, the popular songs from your favorite gospel artists, R&B artists, jazz artists, whoever. It's like we want to do the things that we already know we're already comfortable with, because that's easier. It doesn't require any discipline. And when people run into relationships, it's like running relationships pretty much the same way. You hop in a relationship and, you know, we want to go out and have fun. You want to be, you know, the center of somebody's attention. You know, for the ladies, the guys showing you attention. You feel pretty. You feel desired. All those things. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. That's good. But you're not finding out who this person is. And if this is somebody that you would actually ultimately want to be with to, you know, develop a further relationship. That's the whole point of dating. That time should be used to find out who this person is. And you should be dealing with those non-negotiables. You know, do we believe in the same God? Do we have the same, when it comes to money, are we going to have issues? Are you going to, you know, you going to put us in the poorhouse spending money? Or are we going to both be able to manage that? When it comes to kids, how do we feel? Or like people date folks and they know they don't want kids. You date, why are you dating somebody with kids if you don't want kids? Well, I thought I might have been able to like that. That's retarded. You don't put people in those type of vulnerable situations. You're dating somebody and he's my height, 5'6", and you know you, the minimum a guy's got to be 6 feet. Don't worry about hurting somebody's feelings, because bottom line is, if he's 5'6", he's not growing 6 more inches unless he has a pituitary glandular problem, a pituitary tumor or something. Then he could grow. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But the bottom line is, if he's 5'6" and he's grown, he's done growing. And if you know you have an issue with height, then you need to be dating somebody with height. Who's tall. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine. And the bottom line is that she was asking me, she had met a guy and she called me. It's like, Derek, you know, am I being vain? She's like, he had really bad teeth. And I told her, I mean, the bottom line, I could argue and say, I could tell her that, you know, yeah, you're being vain. Maybe she is, maybe she isn't. But what's for sure is that she had a problem with this guy's teeth. And that wasn't about to change. So if that's an issue for you, there's no point in you going into that relationship. We can go back and forth whether you've been petty, superficial, or any of that. Bottom line is that's where you are. And it's not going to be any benefit to go into this relationship only for, you know, 6 months down the line when he's all in because somebody liked him and didn't care about his teeth. And you get to a point, you know what, I just can't deal with this anymore. Well, you knew that from Jump Street, that was a deal breaker for you, whether it's superficial or not. That's irrelevant. That's where you are. And if that's what your issue is, or, you know, again, like I mentioned, height, if that's the issue, that's the deal breaker, then those things need to be discovered much sooner than later. All right. So establish those things, find out those things up front. find out those things up front. It's like dating is like, it's an interview process. It's an interview process. When you go to interview for a job, they're not asking you, they're not giving you a drug test 6 months after you've been on the job. They give you a drug test the moment they find out that they're interested in you. When they consider you a candidate that we actually want to hire, they give you a drug test. They're not trying to find out later if you got a drug problem. No, they're trying to find out now so they can disqualify you. And that's what we need to do in relationships. Because that's what dating is. It's a qualifying or disqualifying process. We qualify the people that we want to be with that are good for us, and we should be disqualifying those who aren't. All right? So that's where we are with deal breakers. Get it done up front. The next one, does the relationship feed your spirit? That's a good one, too. And what exactly does that look like? Well, that depends on the person, obviously. Is the relationship causing you to grow? Does it add to you in ways that transcend the superficial? So, yeah, you pretty, he's muscular, whatever. That doesn't feed you spiritually. That appeals to your flesh. Nothing wrong with that. You should like the way somebody look. We should. We have eyes. And there's nothing wrong with liking. Well, actually, something wrong if you don't like the way somebody looks. You should. That shouldn't be. It should be more to it than that, which is what we're talking about. Is your interaction with this person stimulating your mind or just your body? Body stimulation will not build the foundation that is needed to build a strong relationship on. Are the two of you on the same page spiritually? In relationships, it's important that we're building our foundation from the same blueprint. We need to be building from the same blueprint. I mean, can you imagine if you have a group of architects building a building, a high-rise house, whatever, and they all got different blueprints? That's okay if they have if they're working on different parts of the same blueprint. Somebody's working on the bathroom, somebody's working on the living room, somebody's working on the garage or something like that. But we should all be building from the same blueprint. Pop culture seems to think it doesn't matter what each individual believes. Somehow, many have bought into the idea that conflicting beliefs will not cause any problems. Wrong. The only way this is true is if the individual is not fully committed to their beliefs. And what I mean by that is if you have a person, for example, that's atheist and somebody else is Muslim, the only way you can have relationships like that where those two relationships work is if somebody's not committed to their beliefs. Because a Muslim wouldn't be with somebody who doesn't believe in God unless that Muslim is not really committed to the tenets of their faith. And obviously the atheist ain't committed to what they believe either. Because the problem with that, and I just use those for example, the problem with that is our beliefs are what govern the course of our lives. We make major and minor decisions based upon the tenets of our faith. This can easily cause conflict when we're holding opposing values on certain issues based upon our foundational beliefs. This can run the gamut from how children are raised to how certain holidays are celebrated, if they're celebrated at all. So, and that's just a different aspect, because I'm sure when she talked about it, feeding your spirit, she wasn't necessarily talking about that, but that's a part of it. The relationship should be feeding us. It should be feeding you spiritually, not just appealing to your flesh, appealing to your emotions, but it should be causing you to grow in all of those different areas. Naturally, definitely spiritually. And we should be on the same page, all right? Here's another one. And this is the last one, which is cool. Got 10 minutes left. Do you always have to make excuses for your mate's behavior? That sounds like a problem. There is no reason that one should have to explain the behavior of their mate. If you find yourself making excuses for your mate's behavior, your relationship is already in trouble, and you're choosing to ignore it rather than make the hard decision to end the relationship. If this is a constant behavioral issue. So if you got to make excuse for somebody's behavior, obviously they're doing something that's wrong or something that you have a problem with. And you're having to make excuses either to yourself or you're making excuses for them to someone else. That's a problem. That's a problem. Because we should be able to communicate with one another, for one. The other one is you shouldn't have to be making excuses for how somebody's behaving, because, again, it suggests that that person is behaving in a manner that they should not be behaving in. In another instance, this could also identify a difference in values, which is still a problem. How do you reconcile this difference? Which one of you should yield to the other? These are decisions that have to be hashed out if possible, depending on the severity of the concern and how committed each individual is to their way of doing things. It may be something that can be worked out or worked through with patience. So it could be an issue, maybe not how it sounded to me, you know, because it sounded to me making excuses for this person's behavior. This person is, you know, just wilding out or, you know, doing something that you know, there's definitely a detriment to the relationship, where you have to explain to others, you know, your family or friends or other people that you may be around often, you know, while they're, you know, giving excuses for why they're behaving the way they are. Or, like I'm saying here in this other, it could be a situation where it's just a difference in value. So they have a value difference with you on a particular, on something. And you're making excuses to maybe your family or someone else who hold the same value that you do. And that's something that could be, potentially could be worked out, but it's something that definitely has to be discussed. You and that other person, you and your mate, would have to be something that the two of you all could sit down and come to terms with, you know, and talk about it. Because I mean, that's what it is in relationships. You got two people. What we both bring to the relationship is we both bring a past, and we bring a past that usually did not involve the person you're involved with. You bring a past where you had traditions, you had experiences, you had all of these different things. You had certain ways that your family did things. Your family may have ate fish on Fridays, and the other person's family may have not had any set schedule, set way that they did those things. The other one person, the family on holidays, everybody went to their mother's house. Well, what happens if both families did the same thing? What do you do? Flip a coin to determine whose house y'all gonna go to on the holidays? You know, we went and spent the night at mama's house. Actually, we used to do that. Me and my brother and sister, we would go spend the night at my mom's house, I think the night before Christmas. Now, what happens if my girlfriend, her family, they all spent the night, spent the weekend at her parents' house? How do we reconcile that? I mean, and that's just one thing. That's just one thing. What if one person, you come from a household where your family is very animated, you all talk loud, which actually, again, sounds like my family. You talk loud, and to people who are not used to that, you all sound like you're arguing. But you're not. This is how y'all talk. That's how y'all interact. The other person that you're involved with, their family's quiet. They don't get loud like that, or maybe they don't talk loud, and maybe they're more quiet people, and maybe they're more discreet. What happens when those two people come together? So you have a problem, or you know, you expect this. You already have a certain way that you're used to solving problems and dealing with things that is totally different than this other person. And the issue is not even necessarily that it's different. It's okay that things are different, but it becomes an issue when those things are not different, but they're opposing. So it's not just that you're doing something different, because You can have a difference that's complementary, not opposing. Just because something is different does not mean that it's oppositional. It could be different where, just like on my car or on your car, you got four tires. You could put a different tire, have three tires that are the same, and have another tire that's a different, made by a different company, but it's the same size. So it's different, but it's not opposing. But you try to put another tire, it could be the same company, but it's a different size. That's going to be a problem. So we can have differences that are not problems. But what if it's opposing? Where, again, your family is loud, this person's family is quiet. And that could be a problem for them. Because, again, only time their family was loud was when they were actually fighting. Make our distinction between argument and fight. So it's like all of those things that we have to consider when we're dealing with another person. Because when you grow up a certain way, we just automatically think that our way is the right way because that's the way we did it. That's the way our family did it. That's the way we did it for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, however. And then, you know, when you leave the nest, you have certain habits, certain things that you have established your way of doing stuff. And you just automatically think some of those things are right. And that's if we're not talking about things that have to do with right or wrong. And then even that becomes an issue because from a religious standpoint, I'm Baptist, you're a Presbyterian, or one person is Sunni Muslim, the other one is Shiite, or one person is Southern Baptist, the other one is Full Gospel Baptist. It's like all of these different traditions, all of these different things can all pose issues, even if we believe basically the same thing. All of those things can cause issues because, again, we come into the relationship with baggage, and our baggage ain't necessarily matching baggage. Our luggage ain't necessarily matching luggage. And in a relationship, we have to make certain compromises, and it's okay to make compromises. And then there's certain cases where we can't, there's certain compromises we can't make. Those are the deal breakers again. So all of those things have to be hashed out. And getting back to the subject or the title of the show, how to know when it's time to end a relationship. You end a relationship when you find out that this person does not meet the non-negotiables. Because, I mean, you're going to have negotiables, non-negotiables. Some things you're just going to have to budge on. You're just going to have to. I mean, if it's not, as we would say, heaven or hell issues, or if it's just not things that, I mean, if it's things that compromise your values and things like that, those are things that you don't really need to budge on. They don't. You know, this person does drugs. You don't believe in doing drugs. Those are not things you need to compromise on. They're not, because those things are tied to your values. And you should not be compromising your values for another person. The only way your values should change is when that person is coming in your life and they're actually raising, you know, your values. So you maybe your values are low and that person is raising the standard and that's actually improving you. That's a good thing. But it should not be something that compromises or compromise. Inside joke, Jennifer only won't get that, but it should not be something that compromises your values. So you know when you're at that point, or you see that this person is a habitual liar or something, this person, when we talk about actions speaking louder than words, I don't particularly like that phrase because I don't think it should be, I don't think our actions and our words should be in competition with each other. They should be in concert. So a person, I mean, just like, it's like if actions speak louder than words, then that would mean that you showing me you love me is more important than you telling me that. Well, it's not, because I actually want both. I don't want somebody, and I don't think any of us do. We don't want a person that's showing us love, but they never tell us. We don't want a person that's telling us they love us, but they never show us. It should be both. Our actions should be Our words should be the echo of our actions. So when a person tells you that they love you, it should just be, you already know it, but it's just good to hear that. When a person shows you that they love you, you already know it because they've told you and they've shown it. But it's like you want both and you need both. And I think I wrote a post on that. It's those two are uniquely tied together, and it should be both. I'm trying to remember my quote. I can't remember it, but it should be both. When a person tells you that they love you, it should be both. It should be, I love you. Love is both show and tell. That's what the quote. It should be not either or. It should be both. And so when a person is showing you they love you, telling you that they love you, that's good. When a person is saying one thing and they're doing something else, that's bad. And you may, that may be a relationship. That may be time to end that relationship. And here's the other thing. When you're dating somebody, and because, again, you're dating, my listeners, we date for the purpose of marriage. So if you're dating a person and the things that you're experiencing in your relationship, and I've asked people this in dating relationships, is this something that you want to deal with if you were married? And they tell me no. Well, if you're experiencing some things in your dating relationship that you don't want to deal with in marriage, and I'm not talking, there's some stuff we're going to have to deal with. There's just some stuff you're going to have to deal with because it's just, you know, certain things, you know, certain adjustments that you have to make because we selfish in some areas. There's certain adjustments that we have to make that, so I'm not talking about those things, you know, stupid stuff like whether the toilet paper should be up or down. That's minor stuff. I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm talking about real crucial matters, real crucial issues. And when you're dating someone and you see that this person, this is something that you do not want to deal with or experience in marriage, then you don't need it. It's time to end that relationship. It's time to end that relationship. When this person can't be faithful to you while they're dating, and people say stupid stuff like, well, you know, dating is not married, or you're not married until you actually marry. Well, that's true. But a committed relationship is a committed relationship. And if you can't commit, if a person can't commit to you while they're dating you, it's not going to make any difference because they actually went down an altar and made a vow. It's not. If they can't commit to you before, they're not going to. It's nothing magical that happens when you go into a covenant. It's not. And what happens before you go into covenant, it should be what determines whether you actually go into the covenant with that person or not. Again, that's the whole point in dating. The whole point in dating is to find out who this person is. So you're looking at that person's life. You're looking at that person's character. And you should be dating long enough to kind of see that person in different lights, different situations, so you can kind of see who they are, how they function in different situations. That's the point in dating. You know, how do they function off the cuff? You know, when things happen that they didn't expect to happen, how do they handle those things? How does this man handle situations? How does he handle adversity? Those are things you want. How does he handle money? How does she handle money? You know, how does this person handle stress? Those are things that you want to know. And if that person can't handle these things, if they run off into a cave and, you know, they shut you out and things like that, those are things that you want to consider because that's what you're going to deal with and more. If you, you continue on that relationship, you marry that person. Because it is different. You don't get to go to your neutral corners then because y'all in the same ring, in the same corner because you're going to be together. It's different. I get mad at my girlfriend now, I can go home. Won't be able to do that when we get married. You won't be able to do that when you get married. So you have to look at these things and evaluate this person. And people don't want to hear stuff like that when they're thinking about dating. You don't want to hear stuff like interview. You don't want to hear stuff like evaluate. But that's what you're doing. It's an evaluation process. You should be evaluating that person. That person should be evaluating you. And when you have an evaluation, you have something that you're measuring that against. And that's what dating is about. When we're talking about when to know when you're in a relationship. The only way you're going to know it is if you have something that you're measuring this by. When you got deal breakers that you're looking at. When you're talking about how we communicate, where we talk about arguing or arguments or fights, all of those different things. Those are our measurements. That's what we're measuring this person by. That's the person should be measuring us by the same thing. And always be prayerful. Definitely that. I don't believe in the crazy stuff. God ain't gonna pick your mate for you and all that stuff. He's not. There's nothing, there's no biblical precedent for none of that stuff. God ain't gonna pick your mate. It's your option. You have the option to get married or not. And sometimes we get goofy in church and all that kind of stuff. When you read scripture, scripture's not that goofy. When you read in Corinthians where Paul talked about marriage, Paul said, you know what? I wish you would be like me and not get married. You can devote yourself solely to God. But Paul said that's a special gift. Everybody don't have it. Most of us don't. I don't. But Paul didn't get goofy. He didn't say go somewhere and pray for 90 days and God going to send you your soulmate. None of that goofy stuff. Paul said, you know, if you can't contain yourself, you haven't done anything wrong. He said, get married. It was plain and simple. He said, get married. That's the answer to your problem. Go get married. And then the scripture tells us what to look for. It gives us guidelines. Proverbs 31 gives women guidelines. Ephesians gives men certain, it doesn't give them guidelines. It tells men how they're supposed to be toward their wives. It tells them that Christ is that example, that husbands should love their wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So we have those examples. We have those guidelines. We have those measures that we should look at. We're just not using them. You know, we're using the Hollywood method where you got the 30-minute television show and you jump in. Within that 30 minutes, you meet somebody that you've never seen before and y'all fall in love because your eyes meet. And then you have some type of conflict where an old lover or something comes up and it threatens the relationship. Then you overcome that. And then you're back in the bed again. And then, you know, you live happily ever after, at least for a season, maybe or half a season. Stupid stuff like that. That's not how stuff really works. But that's how a lot of our relationships are, where I'm talking to people that are in relationships. They're sleeping with people and they don't even know the nature of their relationship. They don't even know if they go together or not. How retarded is that? That's crazy stuff that we're doing. We're putting ourselves out there, getting emotionally involved with people and doing things that are changing the course of our lives. You're ending up with children, with somebody that you didn't even know whether it was your boyfriend or not, or didn't know whether or not it was your girlfriend. You know, I'm talking to people who are dealing with these situations. You got a child by somebody who's now using your child against you. All this crazy stuff, things that could be avoided if we go into relationships the right way. If we before we even go in a relationship, we look and look, this is what I want. This is the reason I'm dating. I'm dating because I want to get married. This is what I'm looking for in a mate. All of those. I mean, this is simple stuff. Back to the basic stuff. All right. I'm done. Thank you all for tuning in to Righteous Talk on Love and Relationships. If anybody has any ideas for shows, please hit me up on Facebook, inbox me or whatever. Makes things easier. I'm not going to say easier. It makes things better in the sense that I know the people that are listening to me that I'm talking about something that's of interest to them. How do I know? Because you told me what to talk about. So anybody have some ideas on show topics or whatever, reach out to me on Facebook. You can also subscribe to this show so you get an email that reminds you when the show is coming on every week. So it's every Tuesday at 7 o'clock. CST, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a great night, and we'll see you again next week.